بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وقال تعالى: ومن يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله، ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا. وقال تعالى: وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه، وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني، ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders and brothers, as believers, every one of us have a great love and attachment to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something which is part of the dictates and the demands of Iman, that we have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But like when a person has love for someone, he looks up to someone, then the greater the attachment, the greater the motivation to emulate that person's ways. A person looks up to a certain individual, he follows him and he sees what type of clothing he wears, what type of hairstyle he has, and that prompts him to emulate that individual's ways. In the like manner, when we have love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this should motivate us to emulate the Mubarak ways and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the poet very beautifully says, that you claim to have love for him, yet you fail to follow his ways. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. That person who is a lover, then he is obedient to his beloved. So just the claim of love without emulation is not true love. True love means emulation. If we have to look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what was the level of their love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just to gauge the level of love that they had, on one occasion Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu anhu, amongst another a group of Sahaba on an expedition, were deceived, and Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu anhu was taken as captive. And now the time came for his execution. And his life was taken on account of a family member of the Quraysh, of the people of Makkah Mukarramah, that he had killed on the battle of Badr. And now in lieu and compensation for that, his life is about to be taken. So seeing this as an opportune moment, a very sensitive time, Abu Sufyan addresses Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu anhu, and he says, O Zayd, tell me, that if in your place at this moment, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be killed instead of you, would you be happy for that and your life would be saved? Zayd radiallahu anhu, he says, you are asking me regarding Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life being taken in my place. I won't even tolerate that a thorn has to prick the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, Abu Sufyan, an arch enemy of Islam, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. I have not seen any individual. And understand, who was Abu Sufyan? Not a person who had not traveled. He was a person who was well traveled to the different leaders of the world. A person who had traveled on different expeditions to different parts of the world, who had met with kings of the past. And he's making the statement. He says, I have not seen any person who loves anyone like the love that the companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam have for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So this is a very great testimony of the love of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is on one side their love. What was the level of the emulation? Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i radiallahu anhu, he says that we were a group of approximately 7, 8, or 9 individuals. There's a doubt of the narrator. And he says just before that we had just pledged allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed us saying, "Ala tubayyi'una Rasulallahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Then why don't you pledge allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he says, we stretch forth our hands and we remark that, O Nabi of Allah, we have just pledged allegiance recently. Again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated the statement, "Ala tubayyi'una Rasulallahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" That why don't you pledge allegiance to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Again, we replied in the same manner, but we added that, O Nabi of Allah, should what should we pledge allegiance upon? And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, "Ala an alla ta'budu illa Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a." والصلوات الخمس وتطيعوا ولا تسأل الناس شيئا. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a pledge from them that you do not worship anyone besides Allah, you do not ascribe any partners unto him, you hold firm unto the five salas, and that you obey the Nabi of Allah. And finally he says one more thing which he said silently, that you do not ask anything from the people. Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu goes on further, and he says that this advice that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us, or this allegiance that we pledged to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this group held so firm to this teaching of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, at times I would see one of these individuals mounted on his conveyance, and his whip fell from his conveyance. He would dismount, he would get off, pick it up himself. He would not ask anyone to pass it to him, because he had pledged this allegiance to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he will not ask anything from the people. This level of emulation, this is true love, respected elders and brothers. Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu anhu was a poor sahabi. And as was the practice in the time, that when any sahabi was in need, then he would come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As people would give charity to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to distribute to the poor. So he says, once I came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he assisted me and he fulfilled my need. The second time again the same thing happened. He says, the third time after assisting me, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me some advice. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, "O Hakim, inna hadha al-mala khadirun hul." O Hakim, this wealth is very enticing and captivating. Man akhadahu bi sakhawati nafsin burika lahu fi. That person who takes and acquires this wealth without having any desire for it from his heart, then Allah will grant barakah in that wealth. وَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ لَمْ يُبَارَكْ لَهُ فِيهِ. But however, that person who acquires and takes this wealth having some desire in his heart for it, there will be no blessings in that wealth. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. In other words, the hand that gives is better than the hand that takes. Hakim radiallahu anhu understood what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to tell him. And there and then he says, O Nabi of Allah, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ. By that being who has sent you with the truth, from today onwards, I will not ask anyone for anything until I leave this world. How firm did he hold to this advice once Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him? The Sahaba say, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had stipulated a stipend that the Sahaba used to receive and the people used to receive on a yearly basis. When that time would come for Hakim radiallahu anhu, he would be called to collect it. He would refuse and he would say, I had made a promise to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will not ask anyone for anything. And he refused to take that wealth. Then came the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when the wealth was pouring in into the Khilafat. Umar radiallahu anhu would call Hakim radiallahu anhu to collect his share. Again he would refuse. Umar radiallahu anhu would instruct the other Sahaba that you stand witness that I had offered him his share and he refused to take it. Lest I be held accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further the Muhaddithin explain, he went to this level that he would not even ask his slave to bring water to him. He would not even ask his slave to bring water to perform wudu or bring water for him to drink as well. This level of emulation of the advice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated with his companions, and one Sahabi came whilst wearing a gold ring. Perhaps he was unaware that this was prohibited for males to wear gold. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded that what is the matter with you that you are wearing a ring from the fire of Jahannam? And then expressing his displeasure, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed that ring from his finger and threw it. After this gathering was over, the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum told this companion that go and take your ring, you can take some form of benefit. Yes, it's not permissible for you to wear it, but you can take some other form of benefit from it. So he then remarked, how can I take something which the Nabi of Allah threw? That is love, respected elders and brothers. One is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a prohibition, but he could not even tolerate taking that ring which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam threw. That was the level of love. That which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, the Sahaba held firm to it until their demise. And that which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, they refrained at all costs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this command in the Quran Kareem. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Nabi of Allah commands you to do, then take it, then hold firm unto it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he prohibits you from, then refrain from it. So this is love. Love is not just wording. Love is emulation of the ways of the beloved. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling with the companions on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And he passed by a high dome building. So he asked the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu that who does this building belong to? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were traveling with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they replied that this belongs to a certain Ansari Sahabi. After some time, the owner of this very building, he came to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he made salam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned his mubarak face away, indicating his displeasure for something. So after this gathering was over, the Sahabi left, but he understood that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. He went to his companions and he complained, this is what happened. So his companions told him that we recall an incident once we were traveling and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked regarding this building, perhaps he is displeased about this very building. The Sahabi immediately goes and he razes and destroys that entire building to the ground. That entire building is demolished. After some time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again had to pass by that very place. And now he no longer sees that dome building. He asked his companions, what happened to that building? The Sahaba explained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this owner, when he came and he made salam, then you expressed your displeasure, he understood from there that you are not happy with this building. Respected elders and brothers, a mere indication was sufficient for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to understand what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired from them and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked from them. Today there is an availability of knowledge far greater in comparison to the past. We know what is right, we know what is wrong. But the question is, what is the level of our emulation? Aisha radiallahu anha says that once we were seated with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a sahabi requested permission to enter, and he responded that, O Nabi of Allah, I have great love for you. My love for you is greater than myself, my family, and even my own children. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, when I am with my family and the thought crosses my mind regarding you, then I become restless. And the only way I can feel at ease is when I come to your company and I see your blessed face. He says, but once one is this thought, but sometimes this thought crosses my mind that a day is going to come when the Nabi of Allah is going to leave this world, and the day is going to come when I am going to leave this world. And because of the lofty position of the Nabi of Allah, Allah will enter him into a very high position in Jannah. And even if I had to be blessed with Jannah, I won't be given that level and I will thus be deprived of seeing the face of the Nabi of Allah. And he says, this thought worries and concerns me. Aisha radiallahu anha says, Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply, did not respond. Shortly thereafter, Jibreel alayhi salam brings wahi. Allah reveals ayat of Quran. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. That whomsoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, then those will be together with the Anbiya alayhimu salam, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the martyrs, and the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how excellent are they as a companion. So from this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that when a person has obedience to Allah and obedience to Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his obedience and his emulation of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will grant him the companionship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter as well. Anas radiallahu anhu says that once a Bedouin came and posed a question to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Nabi of Allah, matassa'a, when will qiyamah occur? So in response to this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posed a question to him, مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا, that you are asking regarding Qiyamah, what preparations have you made for Qiyamah? This sahabi was a simple person. He responds and he says, O Nabi of Allah, there is no preparation as such that I have made. And according to another narration, I have not made a lot of preparation as far as abundance of optional salah, fasting and charity. إِلَّا أَنِّي أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, but there is this one thing I have loved for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the response of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then in that case, أَنْتَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ, you will be with those whom you love. Anas radiallahu anhu says, when we heard the statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we the companions never became happy greater than the happiness we experienced with this statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنْتَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ, you will be with those whom you love. And then Anas radiallahu anhu used to say that I have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have love for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, I have love for Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the other Sahaba, And I have hope because of this love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter me into Jannah and include me to be with them. وَإِن لَمْ أَعْمَلْ بِمِثْلِ عَمَلِهِمْ Even though my actions cannot reach equivalent to their actions. So from this hadith we understand that having love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a guarantee for a person being included and being granted the companionship of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. So there are a few simple actions which we can bring in our lives in order to acquire this love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As explained at the beginning, the greater the love, the greater the motivation to emulate the beloved. So it is required of us to increase this love that we have for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are few simple actions that inshallah if we bring in our lives, we will be able to increase the love that we have for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first is to read the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, read regarding or recite abundant salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, the person who recites the most salawat and durood upon me will be the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah. And especially on the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Friday, we should try as far as possible to increase our salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then thirdly, we should try and learn the different sunnats that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had carried out on different occasions and try to bring it into our lives and try to emulate the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different aspects of our lives and hold firm to this. And by means of this, inshaAllah, Allah will give us the tawfiq to increase in our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.